And we come today to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come to judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Well, he lays it out right at the start here, what needs to be done. This is the rule that needs to be followed. If two people are involved in a squabble, which they cannot settle themselves, they are to take the matter to court. God did not want his people to continue bickering or fighting or arguing with each other. Find an impartial judge and agree to abide by his decision. But make sure that the judge is righteous, that he has fear of God. Verse 2. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. Someone says, boy, God must have been in a bad mood when he came up with that law. No, actually, God makes it clear that some crimes do deserve a beating. It's nothing to do with a bad mood. God's never in a bad mood just for being in a bad mood. He's a God of justice and righteousness. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? God is just trying to make sure that the criminal isn't beaten until the beater's arm gets tired. So tired that he can't lift it anymore. In other words, God is formulating boundaries for beatings. He is formulating he's formulating boundaries for punishment. Verse 3. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then your brother should seem vile to you. So the purpose for corporal punishment was to make people understand that wrong and pain, and I should say wrong and sin, will definitely lead to trouble, to pain. And what better way to drive it home than with a painful corporal punishment for sin? It was never intended to be a legal way to be excessively cruel. It was never intended to humiliate someone either. It was intended to instruct sin brings pain, not just in this life, but in hell if one never repents. 4. He says, you shall not muzzle the ox when he treads out the corn. Now, an ox was used to break up grain so that they could be winnowed. God cares about working animals as well as working people. So don't be unfair and don't be unkind if you happen to be a farmer to your working animals, because God will hold you accountable for that. 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to him as a wife and perform the duty of a husband, of a husband's brother to her. Verse 6. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. Marrying a close relative was against the law in Israel, with one exception. If a man died without having an heir, then his brothers needed to marry his widow. And the first son of their marriage was considered the son of the dead man. And that meant that he would also inherit the dead man's property, so that property would stay in the family. 7. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up to his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, that's absolutely right. She's right on. Then shall his brother's wife come to him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done to that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that has had his shoe loosed. God said that wasn't good for man to be alone. Man was created to have fellowship with God. He was created to work. And he was created to socialize with other people too. And God uses that inborn desire to socialize, to be liked, as leverage to keep people on the right track. The embarrassment of being spit on and the embarrassment of having a bad reputation would hopefully deter the brother-in-law from shirking in his duty. 11. When men strive together, one with another, and the wife of the one draws near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smite him, and puts forth her hand and takes him by the secrets, then you shall cut off her hand. Your eye shall not pity her. God has just given a law that clearly emphasizes the importance of a man's offspring, right? In the previous verses, now, if a woman was allowed to do this to a man, that could pretty well eliminate potential offspring. And not only that, there's something just a little bit unladylike if a woman would do this sort of thing. It's important to God for ladies to maintain their modesty. 13. You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shall you have, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord your God. God insisted in honesty in business. An Israelite didn't have to stoop to cheating, to double dealing in an attempt to get rich. If they take their focus off of wealth, where it doesn't belong in the first place, and put it on pleasing God, where it does belong, God would prosper them as a byproduct of that right priority. 17. Remember what Amalek did to you by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met you by the way and smote the hindermost of you, even all that were feeble behind you when you were faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies round about in the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance to possess it, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget it. God never forgot those low-down, dirty snakes known as the Amalekites. They attacked the weak, the tired, and the sick Israelites as they lagged behind the rest of the group. They were cowards, and they were cruel, which was a good indication of something that God already knew, and that's that they were godless. They showed no respect for God, no mercy for Israel, and as a result, God was dead serious when he said, blot them out. So what do you think of people in the name of their religion today, in the name of their God today, going after innocent men, women, and children and slicing their heads off? What do you think God thinks of them? He looks at them the same way he looked at the Amalekites, and their end will be the same. Well, they may do a lot of damage, just as the Amalekites did to Israel. They may do a lot of damage. They may kill a lot of innocent Christians. They may kill a lot of innocent Israelis, innocent Americans, innocent Western Europeans. They may kill a lot of them. They may. But if you think that they're going to get away with any of it, then you don't know the God of the Bible, because he despises them in their evil actions. You mark it. Their end will be that of the Amalekites.